Joshua Salman Nemak is the president of Eternity Network International, an interdenominational ministry which started out in Zaria, Kaduna State, Nigeria, but is now based in the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja. Motivated by his love for the body of Christ, Apostle Salman popularly teaches believers across various denominations with an unusual insight into God's Word, and his ministrations are marked with awesome manifestations of God's power. He is the host of Koinonia, a weekly program that attracts thousands of people desiring to experience worship, Word, miracles, love, and true intimacy with the Holy Spirit, deepening their fellowship with God and preparing them to fulfill their divine destiny. A mentor and father to many, Apostle Salman is fondly loved and regarded by thousands of young adults across the nation and beyond as a model and icon of the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise as we make welcome.
Can you clap your hands? Joshua, and celebrate my father as he comes.
OGC 2021.
For the second
Ladies
session.
And gentlemen. As we make.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It is always a delight to feast at the table of the Lord, because every encounter with Him is an encounter with wisdom. And when we encounter His wisdom, then we rise. And we rise in a way and manner that brings Him glory. John 15, verse 8, He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." That means this is how I am glorified, when you bear much fruit. I am very passionate about believers, aside from knowing and loving the Lord, rising to the fullness of their spiritual and prophetic potential. And that happens by an encounter with the Word of God. And I understand, even though this is also a general session, but it's with a particular bias to ministers of the gospel, leaders, workers, business people, and then those who have stood with Pastor Ike in partnership. So let me start by appreciating every one of you who have stood by this man and his dear wife in prayer, in support. The Bible says the Lord gave the word. Then it says, great was the company of them that published it. No matter how anointed, no matter how sincere a man is, it takes the corporate support of a people together, standing with him and standing by him to make this happen. So on his behalf, let me extend my gratitude. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. And in your lifetime, you will see the fruit of your partnership with heaven. In Jesus' name. In the same vein, let me appreciate particularly all the pastors and leaders of various churches. I'm told there are several churches and people represented here. The Lord honor you and thank you so, so much in Jesus' name. And then again, to our lovely parents, it's an honor to have them around again. Please, let's give them a big God bless you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. It'll be a short session. I'm aware that we've been here for a while, and I don't intend to stretch us more than necessary. But then it's a burden in my heart, because like I began to observe yesterday, many believers seek to excel. We seek to rise to the fullness of our spiritual potential. But just like every aspect of life, growth is knowledge dependent. The only kind of growth that is natural and almost needs no effort is biological growth. But any kind of growth requires intention. Spiritual growth, financial growth, intellectual growth, leadership growth, any kind and any dimension of growth would require you to access light, to access knowledge. Most people know what they want, but truly they do not know what it takes to get what they want. Psalm 82 and verse 5, that's where the lamentation started. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. It says, they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all, not some of you. When it has to do with the destiny of greatness, everyone is part of it. It says, all of you are children of the Most High. The tragedy is in the next verse. It says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. So in as much as God has ordained for us a life of glory, a life of excellence, it is very possible that all through our lifetime we may never rise to that potential, whether as a pastor heading a congregation or part of a congregation, whether as a leader, whether as a kingdom financier, as a career person, as a parent. It takes light. I'm trusting that in this conference God will reintroduce to us again the power and the excellency of knowledge. That ignorance is not only costly, it is dangerous. It can cost you your life. The fullness of the divine life is activated and released through knowledge. Through knowledge. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through knowledge. The knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue. He says, wherefore has he given us these exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it takes knowledge. For as long as we entertain ignorance, our visions will only remain desires that will never come to fruition. And I'm standing here only because you made, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power, you perform miracles, and there is nothing that's impossible. And I'm standing here only because you made a way. Fasting and saying, Lord, there has to be a way. You have given me a divine call that I will be a prophet to the nations. You have given me a divine call that the nations will see your glory rise from my life. But what is the way? He says, the labor of the fool wearieth every one of them. The fool here is not an insult. It's a description of a state, bankruptcy of understanding. That it wearieth every one of them. Because he does not know the road to the city. Not because there is no city. Be passionate about the word of God. Be passionate about mastery. 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 Dominion is at the instance of mastery. Nobody goes to the Olympic as an amateur. Even the person who takes last there was first one day. That's what qualified him to even make it to the finals. Is that true? And you see, the beautiful thing about the things of the kingdom is that when it has to do with the knowledge of God, loving him, exploring the vast dimensions that are contained in his person, from eternity to eternity will continue to explore layer after layer. We will never exhaust the knowledge of the person God. The worship in heaven already taught us that the 20 and 4 elders, the Bible says they removed their golden crowns and they casted it on the ground and they said, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, together with the four living creatures, the 20 and 4 elders, and they say, who was, who is, and who is to come. Those are dimensions of him that it will take eternity. It will take eternity to even exhaust who was. The revelations of him that has been shown through history. Who is the current dealings of the Spirit as revealed to us. Who is to come. The prophetic dimensions that are still captured in him that we are yet to unravel. It is from the abundance of that revelation that the elders worship. Their worship is a response to that revelation. So as far as knowing God is concerned, we will never explore and exhaust it. But, as far as fulfilling our God-given mandates is concerned, and excelling, living and walking in victory is concerned, the knowledge that we need is finite. It's not infinite. The spiritual truths allocated for the excelling of a believer is not infinite. They are many, but they are finite. You can hold them. Just like a student continues to learn even after school, but there is an exact body of knowledge required for you to earn a degree in a program. Is that true? And you can exhaust that curriculum and defend your course, and the university will unashamedly award you that degree. And you can even extend further to have an MSc. You can extend further to be to a PhD holder. And they can even call you a professor. In fact, you can stretch so much and you will be a doctor of science with authority across other fields, and yet you are still a student. That means that in as much as we continue to learn, you must know that there is a level of mastery. We can handle the things of the Spirit with such uncanny level of precision and mastery that your life will evidently show to all and sundry that this one, you have found it. Luke chapter 1. Let me show you something. Let's read the first 4 verses. Is God helping us already? Will it be projected? Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Let me read from my Bible. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's what it says. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. That is the first revelation. That believers don't believe the same thing at the same level. We may vary here and there according to the revelation of God given to us, according to the denominations that we submit to. But there are certain Christian truths that are called truths that are most surely believed among us. 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3 is my verse of emphasis, and I wish that you pay attention to it. Here's what it says. It seemed good unto me also, Dr. Luke is writing now, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Luke is confessing before Theophilus that with all humility, as far as the jurisdiction of the teaching I received is concerned, I had perfect understanding of all things. And that it is on the strength of that mastery I am writing to you, so that you do not doubt and you are not uncertain. Verse 4 now. It says that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. It's important to not only believe the word of God, it's also important to vet the vessel that communicates that word. and to look through the antecedents and be sure that what you are receiving comes from a standpoint of fellowship, knowledge, and even mastery. That way your heart is open to receive the equation and the formula you are given, and you will not be tempted to tamper with the formula. Believe me when I tell you that if you pay attention to these truths, they contain in them the very power of God that lifts you, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. And it will set you above all nations. It said, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, do and observe all that is written. It says that you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth, and that this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. You do not rise just by desire. You rise by knowledge. The light that comes from the power of God, and the power of God that comes from His light, they sustain the ability to lift you. Hallelujah. Bishop, you're most welcome. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Ezekiel chapter 2, when you read from verse 1 and 2, the prophet had an experience that was documented. He said, then he said unto me, son of man, stand upon your feet and I will speak unto you. He was asking him to rise to a new dimension, but he had no strength and capacity. And verse 2 says, and the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Hallelujah. Are we still together? If you desire the power of God, then you must desire the Word of God. The Word of God always foreruns the power of God. Without the Word of God, the power of God has no assignment. The anointing has the exclusive assignment of insisting to see that the Word of God does not look like a lie in your life. That means the anointing is the system of enforcing the speakings of God. Without His voice, His power has no ministry. In fact, He hides His power in His Word. Habakkuk chapter 3. When you read from verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that God had spoken from Teman and Mount Paran. And then when you read verse 4, the Bible says that he stretched forth his hands and light emanated from his hand. And the Amplified Version says there, from the sunlight ray that comes from his hand is the hiding place of his power. The power of God hides in his light. Hallelujah. So I desire to share a few thoughts with us this morning, just for a few minutes, and then let's see how the Lord will help us. I'm passionate about teaching the Word of God, and we can stay here from morning till night sharing, because His Word gives light. But it was stirred in my heart to challenge us across a thought that would grant us the grace to even rise to higher and superior levels of destiny. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I thought our media people were projecting. Okay, beautiful. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Everybody say life and death. One more time, please say life and death. Number two, I set before you blessing and cursing. Say blessing and cursing. And then it says, therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The first thing the Bible lets us know here is that whatever you choose, you will not enjoy or suffer it alone. That is the first information here. That the whatever it is that you choose has an extended implication to all those who will come after you. So whether you choose life whether you choose blessing, whether you choose death, whether you choose cursing, the Bible says that it has an extended implication. The decision is not just a personal decision. It is for you and your seed. Are we together? Then the second, it lets us know that both life and death can be an expression that will be found in your life. Both blessing and cursing can be an expression that can be found in your life, and that it depends on your ability to choose. And that for that kind of choice to happen, both heaven and earth were called to be witnesses. I call on heaven and I call on earth to be witnesses. That means it must be a very serious decision. Whatever decision would require heaven and earth all together to be witnesses must be a serious decision. The factors that decide the kind and the quality of our destinies in life and our destinies in Christ. It is important that we understand that our excelling and even our walking in dominion is to a large extent dependent on the kind and the quality of choices that we make. I have watched believers with shock and sometimes even with wonder, sincere, well-meaning people who have made and continue to make choices that impede their progress, impede their manifesting the power of God. They are sincere and loving, wonderful men and women of God caught across this nation, Africa, and even the globe, who intending to live a life of greatness and an enviable destiny, one with color, yet they continue to make decisions and choices that only spell retrogression. There are business people who intend to excel in life. They intend to rise from one level of exploits to another, and yet they continue to make decisions that make for retrogression, backwardness, and regrets. Decisions decide destiny. Decisions decide destiny. My tomorrow is not just dependent on the will of God. The prophetic dimension of tomorrow depends entirely on God's predeterminate counsel, but my experience of tomorrow will now be a measure of what degree to which my choices align with his predeterminate counsel. My choices can veer off his counsel in such a degree that it does not look like God had anything good in mind for me. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord." It says they are thoughts of good or peace and not of evil, to bring you a future. And some versions will say an expected end. God thinks about me, and that whatever it is that he thinks is good. I can trust his thoughts because he is a good God. Are we together? Yeah. Where you are right now, whether you like it or not, is a summation of the kind and the quality of decisions that you have made so far with your life. This looks like it's a very basic discussion, but I can tell you it's deeper than most people will understand. Everybody today that is worth your admiration, whether in ministry, in business, in governance, these are people who largely have been helped by God, but in addition to being helped by God, there are people who have understood the power of quality superior decisions. Your spiritual state, your financial state, the state of your family, the state of your life, your status, everything in life. These are report cards. They are attestations to the quality of the decisions you have made or otherwise. And if we must move from this point to the next level of God's prophetic expectation for us, then we must understand the power of decisions. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. This is very important. That's the first thing that I'm talking about. Many people do not know that their decisions matter. I can choose to take God seriously. I can choose to be unserious with my spiritual life. It is my choice. And even to the detriment of your eternal destiny, God still honors your choice. I set before you life and death. There are people who have not chosen to be poor, but they have not chosen to be blessed. And every time you do not plant anything in your garden, your silence and laxity is a choice itself. And the weeds understand that it was a choice you made. So they come to honor that choice by still growing in your garden. Are we together? There are people who have made up their minds to not value superior relationships. All of the friends and associations around your life may largely be mediocre people who do not fear God. They are anti-greatness. They are anti-destiny. And we hold on to these relationships in the guise of all kinds of loyalty to whatever it is. And this continues to bring us down. Oh, we were classmates. We came from the same place. Now, when it was time for Abraham to rise higher, Abraham had to tell the people, thank you, we came thus far with you, but you have to remain here. I will have to go alone. I love you. We are from the same place, but as far as this mountain is concerned, I cannot go with you. Your compassion will not allow me to obey God. I have to drop you. There are times you have to drop good people. It's not only bad people. There are people who love you too much, they will not allow you fast. They love you too much, they will not allow you stretch yours. It's not only bad people. There are people who are not so constructed for where you are going. They may not be evil. They are just not going where you are going. Are we blessed? Decisions. This program was a decision that was made by Pastor Ike and his wife and their team. The decision to be in this auditorium. A decision. A decision for the morning session. Can you imagine that men's destinies can literally hang on one man's decision? One man called Reinhard Bonnke decided to pledge his life and serve God, and in his lifetime brought over 100 million people to the cross. One man's decision. One man called Idi Amin decided to be a cruel dictator, and under the influence of that decision, many people suffered. One man called Adolf Hitler decided to make the Jews, are we together now, to sell an idea of superiority to the Germans as against all other nations. And on the strength of that ill-informed decision, 2.5 or thereabout million Jews, many other people could not leave their assignments because of one man's decision. The armed robber that has rendered people widows, widowers, orphans, he took a decision. The morning before he killed, he knew he would do it. It was a plan. He decided based on whatever factors he put. Decisions are powerful. I have met people, sadly, that I used to know years ago. As I travel around bringing the power and the glory of God to nations, sometimes I stumble across familiar faces. And I look at them and I'm almost in tears, because once upon a time for many of them, we had the opportunity. We were at the same level. And I'm thinking to myself, what changed? God did not change. So what changed? Decisions. They decided to move forward with their lives, or they decided to remain there. I have traveled to regions where I have seen everything the way it was when I was growing up. Nothing changed. Many of you have heard my story. Let me give you a little of it. One time, I went to a hotel called Premier Hotel. It's in Ibadan. I think it should be one of their best. It's at the mountaintop. Beautiful scenery. And I went there from Port Harcourt. No one knew me, no nothing. I went there and things were so bad in the night. The person I went to meet there came late and I couldn't really see him. He had to leave, and now I was stranded, completely stranded. Nowhere to, I couldn't dare say I would stay in such a hotel. And I sat down 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I said, well, I'll just be patient and hang around till morning so that I'll go, because all I had left was my transport. But I stood there, I said, this is not a true reflection of my worth, and it's not a true reflection of my decisions. This is a transitory phase, and that I would go through it with honor. It was just my body that was there. Are we together? Now listen carefully. To the point that I said, why waste this remaining 5 hours? I started walking around in that lonely night going down, and I was hearing sounds of prayers in a church, a very small church somewhere there. And I said, beautiful, a vigil is going on. So instead of wasting my time and just sitting and snoring my destiny, let me go and invest my time in that vigil. And I went there, attended the vigil until morning, and then I left. But I remember looking at the staff, looking at the ambience of the place. A few years later, I would go to preach in Ibadan. And from the airport, I think, there was a convoy of people rejoicing and happy that I came. And they said, let's take you to go and rest. And then while they drove me, they took a bend, and I looked at where they were going. And guess where they were going? The exact same place. And when they drove, there were people who were waiting there, greeting me. And I still saw the faces. They would not know it was Joseph again. And they took me to the highest suite. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. It's not about marketing flesh. When they took me there, I said, what changed? The government did not change. The hotel did not change. God did not change. Satan did not change. Nigeria did not change. The color of my skin did not change. My name did not change. What changed? My choices, my decisions. You are sitting here today. There are some of you who, if you make up your mind to make decisions, one day we will gather here, but you will no longer be a spectator. You will be the one who will bring us, and together we will sit in the table of greatness, and you will recall the moments of pain. Or you can add this program as part of the archives of what will torture you tomorrow, that you had a chance for a great life. That tomorrow when you say, I know this person, your children will look at you and say, we're disappointed that you came close to greatness this far. There are many, many, many aged people today who are angry at great people. They see a man of God, and you know, and once you become great, everybody will say they knew you. Oh, I used to know this person. It's an indictment for you to have known greatness and still remain small. Imagine what Lot would tell them in Sodom and Gomorrah in the face of Abraham's exploit. Who did you say you were? Abraham's cousin? The man of covenant? What are you doing here? I made a decision. The first decision Lot made outside of the influence of Abraham is what took him to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, your decisions have far-reaching consequences that you know. Many of you have made a decision that you will not be serious. You allow life to just evolve itself, and somehow one day it go better. African cliche, the justification for a life of mediocrity. We believe that time automatically changes things. Time does not change anything. Time only reveals the consequences of your decisions. Are we together? Once upon a time, a popular story, a man came into a city for the first time, and he met a farmer. The farmer was farming, and he said, hello, sir. And the man turned to him, and he said, I hear this place is a place of cruelty, having armed robbers, rapists, and all kinds of people. And the farmer looked at him, kept quiet, and said, you are correct. The man nodded his head and passed. Then another man who was very jovial and joyful came and tapped the same farmer a few hours later and said, I hear that in this place there are all kinds of industries, wonderful people, so many things are happening here. The farmer looked at him and nodded and said, you are correct. both of those things happen in the same place. It is your choice what you choose to see. You can choose to see destruction in Asaba. You can choose to see corruption. You can choose to see cultism and armed robbery. Or you can choose to see a generation rising in power and grace and the anointing. You can choose to see ministers frustrated in ministry in Asaba. Or you can choose to see that God is able to favor and to bless even to the uttermost. The law is that as far as your eyes can see, he told Abraham, he said, from where thou art, lift up your eyes. Not where you want to be, from where you are. No complaints. Your feet may not be able to go far, but your eyes has the privilege of looking beyond your current horizon. Lift up your eyes. Apostle, I came from a family that does not even believe God can use me. You don't need to explain to them. Your results have a voice. Lift up your eyes. Is someone learning this morning? Nobody gets into a life of greatness and dominion and excellence by mistake. No. Right from the foundations of the earth, the Bible declares that the lamb was slain. It was very intentional. Your life today as it is, using whatever indices, is a messless reflection of the quality or otherwise of your decisions. Lack of spiritual power, decisions. Lack of knowledge, decisions. Lack of influence, decisions. And so my first charge to all of us this morning, whether in ministry or in business, is that we have to obtain grace from God to begin to pay attention to the kind and the quality of decisions that we make. And let me tell you this. The secret to making quality decisions is to know the consequences behind a decision before you make it. We don't choose consequences. We make decisions. And the decisions have the power to select the consequence that comes to us. Are we together now? That means it is costly to wait for your decision to show you the consequence. The Bible is a plethora of decisions and consequences. And so, before you make a decision, the Bible prophetically gives you the privilege of foresight to see the consequences attached to such a decision. The Bible says, he that does not plow his land, for instance, during the rainy season, that he will beg in dry season. So, if you choose not to be diligent, it is a choice that God will respect, but that there is a consequence attached to it. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. The Bible declares, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. There is a relationship between intellectual laxity and shame. It tells you that. You don't have to choose shame. You choose what chooses shame. You don't have to choose greatness. You choose what brings together greatness. Many people today, when you ask them, what kind of life do you want to live? They come up with this ambitious picture of a beautiful life. And for most people, they continue to flatter themselves with this imagery of a life that will superstitiously evolve itself. And you watch the kind and the quality of decisions that they make in honor to that vision. And they are nowhere close to the decisions that make for that kind of destiny. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I obtain grace from the Lord to make superior scripture-based decisions about my life, about my call, about my destiny. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A man who is not prepared to be diligent and now has 8 children, his decisions are not only going to punish him and punish the innocent woman he's brought into his life, they will punish those 8 children. Chances are excellent that the children would not amount to a man. Proverbs 18:16. The gift of a man can make room. Do you know what it means to make room? To make room means to push left, right, and center until a space is created for you. And the Bible says that it can bring you. Your value is an usher. It's a protocol. It can usher you into the realm of the great. Stop saying people don't like me. People don't place a demand on me. They are running away from you. It's a report card attesting. Value. I made up my mind that his assignment is to remain valuable. As soon as you enter his palace, at least they said the man was so wise, they do not believe. They believe he's an incarnate or something of that. You know how we believe all kinds of things in culture. I just think he may not be an incarnate. He may have been assisted by demon spirits or one who just paid his price to stretch his mind. Let me tell you this. When you see the excellency of refined value in the face of those who need it, you will watch with wonder. Make up your mind that you will be so valuable, you will never stand before anyone and be intimidated. You will only be challenged and encouraged, but not intimidated. Is someone learning? That the day they come in and they are looking for people who serve in that capacity. Listen, you only receive the rewards of kings when you serve kings. You want to receive the rewards of kings, then sustain the value, O Joseph, that brings you before Pharaoh. It is only Pharaoh who can. That who hates you does not matter. You don't need to worry about who hates you, but who likes you matters. O Esther, a king can like you in one day and you become queen the next. O Joseph, Pharaoh can like you one day and you become prime minister the next. Are we together? Yeah. Relationships matter. And there are principles of relationships. Many of us today, let me challenge you by asking you a question. And then we pray. Your life today, do you have someone in your life today that if and when you are challenged, whether financially, spiritually, or otherwise, is there someone in your life today that you can wake any time and say, please, I want you to arise and stand with me. And that person will say, with all pleasure, I will do that for you. If you do not have such a person in your life, you are already sitting on a time bomb. Because not everybody thinks you are a big deal. So you have to obtain grace by God. We live in a world that is self-centered. Most of the people clapping for you are only clapping for themselves through you. This is true. Especially for those that God has helped to come to limelight. We have this deception that I am popular. We have this deception that people like me. It is not exactly true. Follow the thoughts of the wise and you will know. Jesus fed 5,000 people aside men, women and children. Is that true? And then the Bible records that when he was about to begin the process of his passion, not one of those people came around. When he was at the cross, as recorded from scripture, it was his mother and John. Out of 12 disciples and apostles that he so graciously mentored and poured himself into them, they didn't hate him, but they loved themselves more than him. So they ran away. Only John stood there with him. Do you know, there are four kinds of connections as far as destiny is concerned that you need in your life. Let me summarize it very quickly for you. I've done teachings on that. Number one, you need divine connectors in your life. Divine connectors are men and women who do not have the physical wherewithal to help you, but they know who can help you. They are midwives. They can connect you to the people, the places, the information that helps you. An example was the little maid who was responsible for Naaman's healing. She did not have the power to heal him, but she knew a prophet who could do that. And the secret to receiving from divine connectors is discernment and honor, because they may not come in a fashion that is appealing. A bus conductor can be the one God will use to hand over to you the poster of a program that will bring deliverance to your family. So those who only honor a certain group of people, either because of prestige or pedigree, usually those people never enjoy the ministry of divine connectors. You must master the art of honoring all men, the poor, the rich, the downcast, the nobodies, because you are giving God, by that attitude of honor, you are giving God a variety of men he can use to connect you to your destiny helper. It is said that everybody who rises is only four men away
to your helper. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows the answer to your prayer. But it takes honor to keep transiting from person to person. If you are with me, say amen. Are you learning wisdom this afternoon? Very important. Most of the things, anything money can buy, relationship can also buy it. Can I tell you this? You are not doing well in your life if all that comes into your life comes only by money. There are receipts for your exploits that should be written, paid for by relationships. Money is not everything. Yeah. Are we together? Yeah. Relationships. Divine connectors. Number two, you need in your life men and women of influence. These are men who, by reason of their competence, their antecedents, and by reason of their sacrifices, they have become gatekeepers over systems and structures. You need their endorsement, and you need the leverage that comes from the honor that a territory has given them. Men and women of influence. Herein lies the pride of our generation. Our inability to see those who have paid the price and to accord them the honor that is due their sacrifice. Most of us feel that when we see people who are doing well, we think God just favored them. Do not have that kind of understanding. Every time you see people who have so labored with the dignity of kingdom integrity, whether in ministry, in business, accord them the honor that befits their sacrifices. And that honor will open to you the gates of their hearts. Are we together? Yeah. Jesus taught us a lesson. Zacchaeus was not a small man. Zacchaeus was a noble man. He was one who you would say was walking in the CBN of those days. Are we together now? And he went out of his way to bend over backwards, to climb a tree. Do you know the kind of humility that would mean? To climb a tree to see Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, no. I understand honor. Come down. I've changed from where I'm going. I'm going to your house. Your Jesus was not ashamed to show honor. I know sometimes we say we are all the same. Everybody is the same. You are right. But you need to be wise. Because many times you will dishonor the system that God has used to provide the leverage for the next 10 years of your life and your destiny. Can I tell you, human beings are truly gatekeepers. One man's signature can be equivalent to 10 years of laughter in your life. One man's anger can be equivalent to 10 years of battles. You may not die, but you will be wounded in a way that you will know that the earth has he given to the sons of men. This is the world of men. And we need to be wise. The only place in scripture where the Bible says to be wise as a serpent. Every time he uses the expression of a serpent is always to the negative. But in teaching them how to walk in the cosmos, he says, borrow the wisdom of the serpent. Are we learning? You need men and women of influence. Number three, very quickly. You need gifted people. The ministry of gifted people. They are responsible for efficiency and time redemption. You need gifted people. More than sincere people. Heads of corporations, pastors. A time will have to come when you need gifted people. Gifted people are designed by God to make the job easy for you. If the axe head be blunt, the Bible says, you will need more effort. You will need more effort in felling that tree. Gifted people. And the last, and in my opinion, about the most important of these sets of people you need, are burden bearers. Burden bearers may not be gifted. Their assignment is not to move you forward. Their assignment is to keep you from going backward. Burden bearers are the men and women who love you more than your gift. They are the ones who will cry for you and cry with you. When you are at the cross, woe betides a man who only has divine connectors, who only has gifted people, who only has men of influence. You must need burden bearers, because even if you are Jesus, one day you will be on the cross. And woe betides a Jesus who does not have his mother standing by him and John the Beloved standing by him. Many people today in old age and in their retirement, they die out of frustration and high blood pressure and all kinds of diseases because having invested in the lives of so many people, they did not take the time to pray for burden bearers. Burden bearers have absolutely nothing to hide from you. They are sincere people who love you. You can be at home with them. They are not people who stand with you. They are those who die with you. I'm praying for you. May you find such a people in your life. Many years ago, Benny Hinn had a discussion with Marilyn Hickney, a very old woman now in her 80s, very great healing evangelist. And she told him this about 20 or so years ago. She said, Benny, if you can find five of these people in your life, you are about the luckiest man of God. And he laughed because at that time he was at the prime of his ministry. Kings and nobles were inviting him. Now you know his situation. When he had a problem with his marriage before God intervened, it was quite a costly thing. He lost half of his partners within a short time. Lost everything, and all the people who were saying, we will make you king, now began to shout, crucify him. And she reminded him, and he called and said, you are so wise. Five was even too much. I did not even find three. I wish I would tell you times will not come in your life where you will need the ministry of destiny helpers. But even if you are David, there are times Saul will pursue you. You will need to hide in the cave of Adullam. And that at that time, may you find men who, even though seeing you hiding, they will covenant with themselves and say, you must still be king over us. Even though you are hiding, we do not see you as a failure. You are. I have seen many people who have had a celebrity mentality and enjoyed flattering themselves that I'm so loved by all and sundry. And then the reality of their humanity or something else just catches up with them at one point or the other, and they are left alone. There are many parents like that. Can I tell you this? You have to pray, especially at these times that we live in. I've had the opportunity and the privilege to cry with people and wrap my hands around them and tell them, look, everything is going to be all right. My greatest desire, you've heard me say it, aside from being a man of God, is that God will grant me the privilege of being a shoulder for wounded people. Our world is an evil place, full of self-centered people with godlike expectations over everyone. And there are times when I know a man of God whose child later now was misbehaving and not doing well. And you will be surprised. The same people he spent his life investing in, they were the same people who came and said, shame on you. If you cannot keep your own family, then I do not think that you are qualified to be a leader over us. You can imagine that pain. Over two decades of dedicated investment in those people. The great also cry. When they cry, may you be the one they cry to. That they can come to you and feel at home and can cry. There are men of God who have come to meet me, and some of them have brought charms and said, I am not evil. I was only deceived. I came sincerely because I wanted ministry to work, and the mentorship systems that I was under did not allow me to serve God acceptably. This is the truth. And sometimes they come thinking, I'm going to be disappointed. When you hear the way I preach, you think I'm holding a whip and I'm ready to lash everything out of you. But it is the apostolic grace that makes for that. My name means the way to love. And many times I hold on them and we cry together and I tell them, listen, rebels don't come to God. Rebels run away from God. The fact that you came to God, remember the prodigal son? I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your servants. And while he was coming afar off, the Bible says he saw his father. And the father never discussed that issue with him. He wrapped his arm around him, restored his signet ring, and called for a feast. May you be the one person that when people are downcast, I have been with families that lost their loved ones. And you see, it's a very difficult thing when an anointed person, something negative happens to him, like bereavement and the rest. How do you reconcile this with all the faith propositions that you make at the altar? Sometimes it can be very difficult. John 11:35, the word, life, Jesus wept. Life can weep. Results can weep. The truth can also cry. Are we together? Many of you may be in that phase right now where it looks like your destiny has not yet evolved to represent the glamour that attracts people, and everybody is despising you and ignoring you. Or perhaps there might be some of you here who maybe at one time or the other you've had challenges, mistakes you made, things that happened that should not be, all kinds of things. It is true that Jesus died, but he only died for 3 days. While you are talking about the Jesus that died, resurrection has already happened. Let me encourage you that no matter what it is that you have lost, if you still have, like the vision that was given to the prophet, if you still have an ear and 2 legs, you can come back again. The lion ate the animal, and all that he left was 1 ear and 2 legs. Because if you can have the ears to hear, oh dry bones, and you can have the faith to take a step, even dry bones can now become an exceeding great army. But relationships are powerful. Let me give you an assignment. I want you to write the following. Number one, write the top 5. It's something you can do at home. Who are the top 5 people that represent the inner circle of your destiny? That means these are the people that you can say they are friends indeed. There are 3 kinds of relationships broadly. Number one, there are general relationships. The Bible mandates that we honor all men. You go to the market, you meet a trader, you enter a bus, you go to the filling station. The Bible mandates that we are good to all men. Number two, there are seasonal relationships. Relationships that God himself brings to help achieve certain things per season. An example, your classmates. An example, your coursemates. An example, your tribesmen. Number three, which is the highest, there are destiny relationships. These are relationships that connecting with them is part of the systems that will be able to help you to live the fullness of your call. Destiny relationships. You cannot invest the same kind of energy to all these cadres of relationship. It's not wisdom. Are we together? So, number one, who are the top 5 people who have shown you the greatest honor in your life? Don't generalize them. When people in this wicked and evil world, when people go out of their way to make you a big deal, to invest their loyalty, their heart, their all to you, please be wise enough to recognize them. Who are the top 5 people today, as a man of God, as a business person, who you know, without flattery, without any sense of self-centeredness, they have communicated as a habit the greatest communication of honor. They have discerned you, not just as a person, but as a gift from God to them. Number two, who are the people who have shown you the greatest support system in terms of encouragement, in terms of being there for you? Did you know there are certain people in your life when seasons are about to change, here their prophetic word comes. Every time you get a text from them, it's telling you that a season has come to an end. They may not be very close, but God has connected the word for your destiny through their mouths. You have to be able to know these cadres of relationship. I would learn this maybe a few years, maybe 5-6 years or so ago. That was when I learned this, that I cannot just invest the same kind of energy to everybody. No. There are people today who have gone out of their way intentionally to invest into our relationships. They are honorable people indeed. And I have been very unashamed to reciprocate that. Are we together? There are people today, if they hear that your house is burnt, they will not wait for you to look for a place to stay. They will say, over my dead body. May God bring those kinds of people to your life. But may God make you that kind of person. Hallelujah. I think it was Pastor David Obueli also. He was sharing in a meeting that we had some time ago. And he was sharing something like that. I can't remember whether he preached it in the open or it was while we were talking. And he said how that there was a man of God or so whose house got burnt. I think so. I hope I get that right. And then another one just came very quickly to stand and bridge the gap for him. And say, your house got burnt. There is a house, maybe one of my estates. Come and stay there indefinitely until everything works well in your life. Can I tell you, don't generalize that everyone is wicked because you've gone through so much pain. Pain can become so habitual, it does not make you see good in everybody again. But there are still a remnant of people. There are people who fear God sincerely. There are people who love you sincerely. Do not think everybody is just out to rejoice over your failure. Let me attempt to round up. I was in a certain city not too long ago to preach. And when I was done, the pastor said, I'd like you to meet a few women. I said, what for? And he said, these are very successful women, 7 of them. And that they decided as a covenant with God that because of how much you have blessed them and how much they love you, they have taken it as a covenant responsibility upon themselves that without fail, their assignment till the day they see his face is to pray for you. I said, are you kidding me? Who are they? I said, please gather them very quickly. Let me see them and possibly go down on my knees and let them. They are not failures. These were extremely successful women. Who do you think you are that women will come together and covenant, bind themselves with a covenant to pray for you and you generalize them? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Believe me, as a man of God, I love everybody. But everybody does not have the same place in my heart. I'll be foolish doing that. Even in our dealings with God, he gave unto some 5 talents, some 2, some 1, according to their several abilities. There are people who Joshua Selman is a great man of God. There are people who Joshua Selman is, I don't know whether he's real or fake. Who knows? All this power. Let's watch. And please give them a chance. There are people who Joshua Selman is a wonderful man of God. I just love him. Nothing. There are other people Joshua Selman is a gift from God sent to them. Oh, you can't treat all these people the same way. Just like you, the you that everybody is trivializing. There are people who see you as a man of God and say, sir, I know you are sent from God to me. And I honor you as touching that grace. How in the world would you treat them the same way? No. Jesus did it. You are a centurion, a man of honor and nobility. I will come to your house. And he said, no. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. When Nicodemus wanted to see him by night, Nicodemus came to him, a centurion. I heard about one of the fathers of faith in this nation who could go so far to travel and go to a particular region just to see one person, one family, bless them, pray with them, encourage them, and return back home. As difficult as it is to get our fathers because of their schedules to honor a program or honor a crusade, there are people today, and I must confess to you, even as a person, because I live a very busy schedule, you would think that because I have so many things to do, there are no people that I care for, except that one day you will be surprised to see a picture where I'm casually sitting with a family and praying and maybe just sharing fellowship with them. Joshua Selman, I thought you should be at a crusade ground. Ask Jesus what he was doing at the well with a woman who so honored him. Ask Jesus what he was doing with Nicodemus. There are different levels of ministry. Honor is the determinant of those cadres of ministry. So don't be surprised when you see the person you are trying to invite for a conference somewhere just sitting down and playing with children. And you are saying, but that time you are playing with them. That's what I want. No. Jesus was with the children. Busy Jesus. Jesus who is on his way to die for sinners. Relationships. For those of you who you only relate with rich people, you are about to learn a lesson. And God is helping you to learn a wise one fast. Rich people, you have already seen their future, but the ones who are coming. Imagine if the wine presser and the baker did not treat Joseph well. I wonder what happened to Potiphar's wife when Joseph became prime minister. I wish the Bible told us that they met one time and said, "Madam, your face looks familiar." We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love you, say forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. Now you see, all of the things that I taught you are the support systems that a man can hold, and his life becomes mysteriously powerful. Superior decisions, superior belief systems, extreme value, profitable destiny relationships. How do you fail when you are surrounded by this? Most of us, in our failure and our regrets and our pains, the absence of these factors may be responsible for why things have not been able to work for us. It may be why we have not been able to enjoy grace. It may be why you've not been able to receive the impartation. We'll talk about those ones, the matters of the anointing, in the evening. Somebody today who would have given you a job, but the day God brought you to the person, you ignored the person because he was not wearing a shoe that looks like it's a rich man's own. Great things do not come in the packages that are appealing. You have to be discerning. There are many ministers today, respectfully speaking. I know people who God is using greatly today, who once upon a time there were no voices at all. And these people had the privilege of profitable relationships, but they ignored it because they were looking for other great men. And today, you're standing here tonight, or well, this day, this afternoon, and God has spoken to you about your choices. God has spoken to you about your belief systems. God has spoken to you about the need to contend for value. Value at a scale that makes you priceless. You are priceless when no monetary amount is sufficient to reward you. Where everything, no matter how great, only becomes a mere expression of honor, not the true worth. There is no amount that anybody gives to you that they feel cheated for giving that much to you. You are priceless. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? And then finally, relationships. Listen to me. Take the one of your friend was not chosen. They came as a result of circumstances and every relationships. It's time to sit down and unashamedly reinvent your relational profile. Not looking for rich people, looking for people sent by God to your life. Those who love you indeed. Those who stand by you and with you. Those who challenge you to aspire towards the things of God. I'm going to pray, and then we wrap up this session and prepare for the night. Let's pray together. I'll give us two prayer points and we're done. Prayer point number one, I'd like you to mention all these four areas and cry for grace to engage them in your life. The grace to make superior decisions. Please make sure you are praying. Number two, the grace to contend for new ideas, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the things that are pure, noble, true, just, of good report, of praise, to construct your mindset. Number three, the grace to kill and destroy laziness, to be exceptionally competent. Exceptionally competent. Exceptionally competent. And then, number four, the grace to attract to your life through friendship and through honor, strategic destiny relationships that are needed for the next level of your life and your dominion. Please pray. Go ahead. We are praying. Just a minute and we are done. Shamakatoska de brendege de belekatos yata. Shavrende zeze bakatoska libra haska de balada rubushia. Marvelous God. Paruska de balanda katapraski di belekatusia. Go ahead and pray. 1 minute and we're done. Hallelujah. Last prayer point, John 13:17. It says, now that ye know these things, John 13:17. Now that ye know these things, he said, happy are you if you do them. Knowing them is not what profits you. The grace to do. Are you ready to pray for that grace? Lord, the grace for performance, the discipline to do, I obtain it from you. Go ahead and pray. Now that ye know these things, John 13:17. Happy are you if you do them. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray.